What's your longest interview?
2.5 hours.
Really?
Sheesh. I just put a 2-hour one out last week with Eugene.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, bro. Like, after you left, we still cooked another, like,
30 to 40 minutes, bro. Like, it was crazy.
So, a lot of times, it'd be just off of the vibe of the conversation, really. So
if
somebody just flowing, and
that's what they own.
What's the longest you ever done?
Not 2 hours. Not 2 hours. Maybe 45 minutes.
Mm.
I'm not against it, though. Maybe the conversation just wasn't hitting on nothing. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I say this, if you know, like if I don't have to, like I usually be having to tell people what I do and all of that. And that really be throwing it off. But I feel like you got a little, you was hitting up my people.
Hey.
Oh, I do know that. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Because Bully Sexman was like, this, you supposed to be on a podcast or something? Like, this dude hit me and hey, asking your business.
She was not playing. Hey, yeah. If that's one solid, hey,
Bully,
she
real.
Solid. Yeah. Yeah. But I know at first we was kind of thinking of doing something, you know, bigger. Mm-hmm. A little more production based. So I'm like, man, we got to cross our I's and dot mm-hmm. our T's. I mean, said that wrong. Dot our I's, cross our T's.
Yeah.
But yeah, your circle is crazy. I ain't going to lie.
It's crazy. Still a couple of people.
We still got a hit, huh?
Really?
Yeah.
Who y'all talk to?
Gotti. We ain't get him. I'm gonna let whatever Neek wanna die.
Lozano.
I'm putting it on him. I'm Lozano, out the way. I'm out the paint.
And you and Tiffany did. You and Tiffany did. All right. All good. I go with it. Show me the surprise, by
she
the way.
Was a, you ready for that?
Said she already showed me.
Should we do that now? She, hey, no, she cold. I'm finna have to be on my, hey, I'm gonna have to be on point today.
Yeah.
She might get me. should we go on and surprise her right now?
Nah, don't mess up. Yeah, don't mess up what you had lined up on account of my manipulation.
I know you ain't seen it. Yeah. I know you ain't seen it. I'm just thinking of timing when I want to get to you. She gonna fuck with it. Let's get to it. Let's go on and cook, man. Let's get to it. Ooh, she's good.
Oh, man.
She's good. I'm not falling for it because you're very charming. You're very sweet and kind. And then you kind of suck us in. And then you hit me with the left real quick. Mm-hmm. So I'm like,
yeah. Very on brand for me. Yes. Very on brand.
Oh, my goodness.
You got the sound off.
Hey, look. Hey, the boss in the building, baby. The boss is in the building, Jack. I'm trying to tell you.
Oh, you got.
Oh, my. Yeah, that's
good. I forgot where I'm at. Okay.
You here. Oh, man. Let's get it, man. Mike, check. 1, 2, we are back. Welcome to the Lost in the Sauce podcast. I'm your host, Sauce. You dig what I'm saying? Man, thank y'all for all the new subscribers, all the people that's been sharing the podcast. Make sure you like, subscribe to Out East Network, hit that bell, and share it to a friend, man. Let's keep running it up. You dig what I'm saying? Let's get it. We got the nerves out the way. I'm ready. We here. You know what I mean? Hey, we've been planning this one for a minute. And I have to say, this is one of the ones that put me in a little bit of a doozy. I ain't going to lie. You know what I mean? But the big boss is in the building.
What's up?
You know what I mean? The boss is here. I have a ton of respect for this woman. Her career, everything that she has done for the city of Nashville has been monumental and impactful. This is a matriarch that is here. This is a queen that is here, paving the way, doing it her way, doing it unapologetically. And with style and grace, shall I say. You dig what I'm saying? So, ladies and gentlemen, We have none other than Miss Two L's, Delisha Davis, in the building.
Intro.
You dig what I'm saying? Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Appreciate
it. Yes, sir. Yes. How are you?
I'm doing good. You, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. That's
you got you blessed. Got me nervous. I ain't gonna lie.
Dang. This is a hell of a platform I'm on. Like, yeah. Dang.
Man. How's your week been? How's your mental? How's everything for you?
The week's been good. It's been busy because I'm preparing for a lot of stuff right now. February is going to be super busy.
Yeah.
But other than that, like, my mental's good. I'm starting the year off on a good foot. I'm putting myself first. Other than that, I'm just ready to attack a new month. January was good to me. So, gotta do more in February.
You started it right. You started it right. You started it with a bang, too. I guess we could, you know, start talking about that. I mean, he's out now. Like, she's finna be on tour. By the time this come out, the tour will be starting. You know what I mean? So, you got that. You got the amazing Nash feels, everything mm-hmm. with that. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really, really been a special culmination of years, yeah. Plus just now what you're doing. Like, I mean, how is all that feeling right now?
I mean, honestly, it's been the biggest blessing. It's been super humbling. I'm very modest to a certain aspect, but I feel like everything was right on time. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I've done a lot of the groundwork, the foot to pavement work. And now I'm in a place where, you know, I don't necessarily have to be out 24 hours a day, be putting in the work 24 hours a day. My 10,000 hours have been planted.
Yeah.
And so I feel like with everything coming on now, like with management and with my personal wellness and with Nashville's community work, like all of it's just is moving in the speed that it's supposed to be moving in. Like nothing feels new, nothing feels like weird or uncanny or anything like that. Everything feels like it's happening like it should. Mm.
Beautiful, beautiful. You said a lot of things that I definitely want to touch on in that. Let's start with the most important, like the health. Mm. You know what I mean? How has that been feeling? I noticed that you take self-care very serious. You take vacations very serious. Mm. How's all that been?
Oh, it's been cool. I think we'd like to call it vacations.
Okay.
But sometimes it's like, what are you vacating from? Like, you know, for me, like, it could be something as simple as getting out of Nashville to feel like I could breathe. Mm-hmm. Like, go to Cali. I like going to Cali just to be on the beach, sit there, get out what I need to get out, whether it be writing or video journaling, crying, any of that. Mm. And I don't have to be, like, out doing things. Like, I don't have to be in a different city turning up or doing whatever. I could just be out of Nashville just so I could, like, feel at peace.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when I'm here, you know, just making sure that I'm paying attention to, like, putting at least 2 hours a day into just sitting still with mm-hmm, myself. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get better at that because a lot of times I put people before me. I put family before me. I put jobs before me. And that's cool when it's good for that. But at the same time, like, I fall short of a lot. So I think mentally just moving into 2024, like, I really want to make sure I'm taking care of myself in all aspects.
Beautiful. Beautiful. That taking care of yourself is very important. The mental health aspect is very important. I'm kind of learning, like, with myself, with just kind of like growing the platform and the increasing rate of work, you know, it's beautiful and I'm doing it, but I also have to make sure I'm prioritizing, like, the mental health, like, mm-hmm. the balance with it all. Like, you know, you got to meet my kids, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The wife, I got all that going on. So,
yeah.
You know, it's very important for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Juggling like a creative mind. It doesn't turn off. So, like, we laying in the bed thinking about what we could be doing tomorrow or what we could be out of bed doing. So, I think that's been important. It's, like, really taking that time to unwind and chill.
For sure. For sure. Now let's talk about it. Let's start with the new baby, the popular baby. We can talk about that. Nashville's
the toddler.
Shoot. Yeah,
not a toddler. It's crawling.
Yeah, yeah. How is that? You know, being from creating the ultimate party experience. Really, really, just can you tell me just some of the like the details of building it from, I guess, like the set, and then that being rebranded into what we see now, which is Nashville's.
Mm-hmm. So with the set, which is like the nostalgia of my life right now, like I take a lot of ideas from Nashville's, and it's because of like some things that we experienced with the set.
Mm-hmm.
But the set, I feel like, was right on time for that era of, you know, music and people being out. And so I learned a lot of different elements, whether it be a photo booth element or whether it be making sure the DJs are on point. Because the people, like, they'll let you know if the music is trash quick. Yeah. Like, they'll let you know, like, yeah, this ain't it.
Yeah.
And so I learned that at a earlier form of the events that I do, that, you know, like, I have to look at it from a consumer value.
Mm-hmm.
Like, put myself in the crowd, put myself at the bar, put myself at the photo booth. What does that look like, you know, as just a consumer, a patron who's coming for the first time? And once I started doing that with the set, like at a very intimate, I'm thinking we like 150 deep in this garage house type of environment. Mm. And bringing in the food, because we taking care of people who's drinking. Like, we care. I think that's the main element, is like caring about the people. And so moving into outgrowing some of those spaces, you know, the set grew really quick because it was that thing that people were doing on a Thursday night, having to go to work on Friday.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
like, everybody will be at work, but we hurting. You know, it was one of them vibes where nobody wanted to leave. You know, we were 8 to 12 and we was kicking people out, you know, because we had to be at work that next morning. But moving into Nashville started, my business partner, Steve, we had been doing events and shows and concerts together for years. And we came together with the idea of, you know, let's start to bring in some different type parties. You know, what is it that we could do to build some consistency in what we're doing outside of the shows? And we had actually just did the 40-ounce bounce at Limelight. And the guy who was pretty much the brand of that, he was like, you know, yo, I have an R&B event that, you know, might interest you all that we could do. So we was like, okay, cool. You know, that's kind of allowing us to step into the event party scene, you know, to grow something here in Nashville. And what's crazy is we were going to call it a night of R&B. And it was going to have, I think, like an open bar for a certain amount of hours. These were elements that he was going to, like, pretty much gift us. Yeah, like, you know, I'll bring y'all a drink sponsorship. I'll bring y'all, like, the ideas, the cups. We'll send all of the stuff. And, like, the week before, he hit us and he was like, yo, like, we probably have to date. And this is 200-400 tickets sold out of 5. And so we're like, you know, ready for it, prepping for it. DJs are ready. And he's like, yeah, we're going to have to cancel it.
What?
And we were like, cancel it?
Oh,
and he was like, yeah, you know, I'm not going to be able to get down there. Like, you know, it's best that we just cancel it. And so I'm like looking at Steve. He's looking at me and we're like, we can't cancel this party. Like, we just can't. So we ended up having it by ourselves with just me and him. And, you know, I think we learned a lot that night. Like, we had to make sure we weren't in the party mode. We were in business mode, but we were at a party. That was the first time that we had really had production costs and video team and all of this stuff to worry about. And so we were like, we just gonna have it. Let's have the party. Had the party, it sold out.
Wow.
So we like,
wow.
I'm like, what you think about? What you think about us continuing to do it? Because, you know, we saw that people loved it. Again, it felt like the backbone of the set was present. And so, you know, we were like, yeah, let's keep doing it. And he was like, we got to have to change the name, though, because we got to get our own thing going here. So we have to call it something else.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, OK, you know, we throwing out names. And then I'm like, man, what about like Nashville's? And he was like, that's it. That's the name. he was like, that's the name. And wow. I think the gist of that is just like, you know, we take so much to concerts mentally. We take a lot to parties and work. And you step indoors and, you know, you could be feeling a certain way. And then by the time you leave, you like, man, I needed that. And I think that's what we wanted to like implant in the city is, you know, no matter how you step into this, you leave feeling better. You leave feeling good. It's like a mental health aspect to it. But that's when we were like, yeah, we're going to have to go with that. And so from there, we just built it and built it and built it. We started selling out Mercy Lounge, and Mercy Lounge was mad at us because they was like, you know, we it's too many people at the bar. It's too many people, you know, in the space. And so then Tyler, which was, he was the talent buyer at Mercy Lounge back then. He was like, you know, what do y'all think about doing Cannery? And we were scared of it at first. We were like, oh, that's a lot of room to fill. Like, we going from 500 to 1,000 off top. That's an extra 500 people. And so we ended up having it. I want to say it was maybe a July, somewhere around July. And the tickets was like doubling every week. And we were like, you know, this thing's selling pretty well. And by the week of the show, it was sold out. And so we sold out Cannery the first time we booked it. So to the talent buyers, they were like, oh, yeah, we want to run this back every time. Like, this is a local party. Y'all don't have artists. You don't have a tour. Like, we got to keep running this. And what's crazy is it was during 2020. And
that's a lot. That was a weird time.
Yeah, I remember going to Vegas. We were in Vegas having a good time. I got a phone call. And my friend was just like, you know, yo, are you okay? Like, you know, tornadoes just went through Mount Juliet. And I'm like, let me call my people and make sure, you know, everybody good. Then we come back and it's like the world shut down. It's COVID. So we went from like mentally thinking about Nashville's to like halting everything. So like from a business aspect, we took a big hit because we had to refund tickets. We had to try to keep the relationships with the venue because the venue still wanted to do these events. But we were like, you know, it's COVID. It's not safe. And they were like, yeah, but you know, you can still. And we just like, I don't want that on me. I don't want people to say, you know, yeah, we came and we did this and we had a good time. And now we're walking away with COVID. So just over the years, like we've watched it form from this baby, this embryo damn near to, you know, we moved into Cannery closing after COVID. And we felt like, okay, it's over. Like, we don't have nowhere to go. And what's crazy is the relationship with Tyler that we had built over time. Because, you know, when you selling out a venue, they're looking at the talent buyer like, you know, high five type thing. And so he looked at us and he was like, y'all ever heard of Brooklyn Bowl? And we were like, yeah, but we've never been in there. We went to tour that thing. And I was like, Steve, I was like, this is it. Like, we've never had. And I think with Black Nashville, Black Nashville has not recovered from the loss of Limelight. We've not recovered from the loss of all of the clubs we had on 2nd Avenue. And so we're just, you know, trying to find places to do all of these things, but we don't have a big platform to hold all of these Black folks in. And so the first time we held Nashville's at Brooklyn Bowl, of course it sold out, but like just looking in the crowd, seeing 100% damn near of Black people.
It
felt so good. And so we was just like, we're indebted. Like, we got to keep this going. You know, we have to keep it going. We got to keep the vibes coming. We got to make sure we're taking care of people. And I think from there, it just was like, you know, this is it. This is the thing. You know, this is the thing.
Okay. So that's beautiful. I'll have to, let me tell you just from the consumer standpoint of like going to Nashville's. Neek, was that one of the first ones that we went to? Okay, so when you did the Brooklyn Bowl there, I was there.
First one?
Yes.
Okay.
So that night I had a hosting of event for like another friend. He was doing something, but it wasn't too far. So I remember we planned in advance, got the tickets, went there after that. I was mad because I like showing up early to some parties that I know is going to be lit. And I ended up getting in there just right as it was just doing its thing, taking off. But man, I have to tell you, I haven't been in a party that was, one, just felt safe from the entire night. You know, not having to look over your shoulder or feel like if you bump into somebody, it's finna go up.
Right.
You know what I mean? That, I'm bringing my wife in there. We vibing. We dancing. Everybody's just kicking it. It's full of, like, creators mixed with just other just 9-to-5 people. Yeah. That's just everybody's in there. And it's just all love.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I felt like a party that has been that great at that type of capacity. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And just some of the details that y'all brought out. Like, it was really just special. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
the attention to detail be there.
I mean, yeah. Was the approach, was that intentional from the jump? Like, wanting to create that particular type of party experience?
You know, honestly, the intention, like, it was there since we were at Mercy Lounge. We just didn't have the space.
Gotcha.
To do all of the things. Like, I remember, matter of fact, this is where the bed idea came from for our Valentine's ones.
Fire.
But it was like, we put a bed, it was like a Summer Walker edition or something like that. But we put a bed in Mercy Lounge.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it was supposed to just be a prop. But when I tell you, like, that was, it was people like taking pictures on it, like ladies like videoing themselves, like telling the cameraman, come get video of it. And so it was just like an extra element of, you know, fun for you know, we grown as hell, but we sitting here bouncing on like beds and having fun with it. And so we were like, man, if we had the space, we could really put some elements in here that, like, you know, you don't necessarily have to be in the thick of the party, the 24/7. Like, you could move around. And so when we seen Brooklyn Bowl, that was our first thought. Like, we can do what we want to do. We could play with the hallway. We could put photo booth. We could have stuff on the stage. And it be at a professional level.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It doesn't feel like you're walking around and you're going to become a liability.
Mm-hmm,
And a good thing about Brooklyn Bowl is you have the elements of a full restaurant. You've got the bowling lane so you could bowl. You've got a photo booth built in upstairs. You've got the stage. And a lot of times, like, people come. Like, I remember it was a professor from Fisk. And I didn't know him at the time, but he was just like, you know, yo, this is a hell of a party. You know, da, da, da. Like, I love what you're doing. You've got everything set up to where people don't have to leave and come back. And I think that's what we're used to. Like, we're used to being somewhere, and then it's like, all right, where are we going next?
Mm-hmm,
so it's like we're club hopping or we're venue switching. But from there, like, people come, and they're there until the lights come on.
Yeah.
Like, they are there until we damn near are like, all right, child, we at curfew, you know. So,
yeah,
the intention has been there. And Steve's creative. I'm creative. So we just get out the nostalgia of our ideas, like, childhood us, you know, like, what would the childhood
what would you want to be
look
doing?
Like? Yeah, what would it look like and feel like?
Hmm. All right. You have so much just on the resume. I'm trying to figure out what all I want to talk about, because I think you're really hitting the mark with, like, the Nashvilles. Where in there does it change when you are bringing artists to the city? Is it that type of same, like, attention to detail and hospitality that you provide? I would also say you do that with Nashvilles as well.
Yeah.
It feels like a lot of hospitality when you come in there. You know what I mean? Even down to the staff or whatever. Like, even though it's that many people in here.
Right.
Everybody's getting served and getting taken care of. I don't really hear many complaints at all. But it does that attention to detail play into when you are curating and bringing artists to the city to perform here?
Yeah. And I think that's one of the things that I've realized is a gem within myself is I care. Like, I genuinely care about people. And so early as, I think it was Earth Gang, you know, we brought Earth Gang to the city. This was before they signed with Dreamville, right before. And so, you know, I was telling, I was telling my team at the time, like, you know, y'all, we got to take care of them. Like, we got to make sure we take care of them no matter what it looks like when they get to the show. Because sometimes you get to the venue and it's out of your hands because security is an asshole or, you know, it's something. So we got to take care of them while they're in our possession. And I remember we got them a really nice Airbnb. Like, we went in the Airbnb and, like, set up. We put, like, robes up. We put a note. We bought them, like, little snacks and stuff. And we did that. And then at the venue, we, like, had bought them food. Like, we made sure they was cool. And, like, the show sucked. people did not come out for her.
Oh, man. Nashville, what's wrong with y'all, man?
Look.
That's Earth Gang, bro. What is y'all doing?
We were so pissed. We were so upset because I'm like, where did the people go? Like, we had a hell of a lineup. And what's crazy is after the local support performed, which is great because Nashville needs to be there for the locals. But when the locals left, Earth Gang got out there and it was like maybe 150 people in a 500 and exit in 500 capacity.
Mm.
And we were just like, damn, like we did what we could. And when I tell you the next morning, we woke up to a post and it was just like, you know, it was a screenshot of the letter we left. It's still on Instagram. It was a screenshot of the letter we left. And it was just like, man, we have never worked with Black women that was so caring with us as artists. Like, we get treated like shit, But it was this long post. And it was like, Nashville, you were amazing. We'll be back anytime.
Mm.
And so we thinking of this trash show where they was literally in a crowd, everything. They moving around the whole venue at this point.
Yeah.
And then you go into what it looked like for them from their perspective of them just feeling like they were taken care of. Like, that said a lot. Same for Primo. Primo, you know, I have a good relationship with his team, with him, just because, like, when they come, they don't worry about anything.
Yeah.
Like, they know they're taken care of. And I think a lot of times when artists book with agents and when they book with higher, you know, companies, mm-hmm. like, it's hands off. You know, here's your check.
Yeah.
We'll see y'all later. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not concerned with what goes on with while they're here. And so I think that has just kind of translated into how we take care of people with Nashville's, how we take care of people with concerts and shows, because you build the relationship at an early stage when you're conversing with these people via email.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I've talked to people's teams. I've trickled down to people's videographers, cinematographers. Everybody gets taken care of, you know, Larry June. Like, there's a lot of artists that we've brought that they cannot wait to meet me because they're like, man, you are the woman behind this.
That's fire.
Like, you're doing this. And you know, me as a Black woman in a heavily populated, male dominated industry, you know, I don't know what it is. Black women have the juice, obviously, but not everybody respects that. So to have artists respect that, like, it makes me feel good, but I know it makes them feel good too. So, you know, there's a lot of artists that we've brought and that we want to bring moving forward and just Nashville's live, like, you know, our concert series that we're looking to get out this year, Primo Rice, March 30th.
Hey.
But, you know, it's just like we're just moving. We're starting to translate everything into just taking care of the city. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the city needs it. It's a lot of people who are out there that want to go to shows and concerts and all of this. And it's not us doing them. So it's not necessarily that intimate factor where you felt like you're getting your money's worth for this $150 ticket, $250 ticket.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're just bringing a lot of the nostalgia back with concerts and how we treat artists and how we treat our audience.
What goes into, can you give us a little bit of an insight, like, behind the scenes of what goes into making it happen? Because all we see at the time is, hey, this person is coming here.
Right.
We don't really see, like, the legwork and the, you know, the back and forth for the politics with having to get in certain spaces or book spaces and things like that. Can you give us a little bit of insight on that in particular? You know what I mean? Like, collaborating with the venues and the spaces, mixed with bringing the crowd there and them understanding that it's a hip-hop crowd and everything that comes with that.
Oh, you got to have thick skin first and foremost.
Man.
Like, I will say I've booked or been a part of a show in every venue in Nashville, from War Memorial to Exit Inn to the Inn to venues that obviously aren't there anymore, to the Brooklyn Bowls, the Bridgestone Arenas, the Ryman. And I tell you what's the same about some of these spaces is they look at you and they think they got you figured out, or they think they know what you're wanting to do at their space because of the color of my skin.
Mm-hmm.
And so very early, before I'm even bringing the artist to them, you have to deal with the no's just because I think I know what your crowd is.
Mm.
You have to deal with the micromanaging of, I don't think you know what you're doing. So, you know, this is what things should look like. And then I've went into spaces and, you know, they'll just cut and dry tell you like, well, you can't smoke in here. Or, you know, if it gets rowdy, you know, rowdy is a hell of a word that Nashville uses for black.
Man.
Like when I tell you,
man,
rowdy means too many black people. If we're honest, like, oh, it's too rowdy. It's too many black people in these spaces. So I've heard all of that, but I show and prove every time. Yes. Like the very first War Memorial show, I had a show brought. It was Kendrick Lamar.
Fire.
Kendrick Lamar. And he came to me and he was looking at me as more of a promoter. And so he was just like, yo, I want you to like get the word out with 2 L's. Da, 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 da. And I was quickly like, you know, like I'd be down, but like, what, you know, like, what does it look like for me to be promoting on my platform, bringing black faces to this building? And so just keeping in mind, like the integrity of my business and my brand, like, what does it look like to even step in some of these spaces? And so when I started doing my own shows, I think that was the first element of like, can we do what we want in here? Or should I go somewhere else? And a lot of times, like, you got to show and prove, like, you know, being completely honest, nobody wants you to tear down their business or tarnish it or anything. But about when it comes to Nashville, I've seen so many things when I go to some of these shows that are rock and country and EDM. And it is so far left when it comes to the calm presence black people bring sometimes.
Wow.
And so stepping into doing shows, it comes with a lot from the booking side of it. But then when it comes to the artist standpoint, like artists are so, I'll change that. Artists have, they depict like, okay, Nashville is country music. Do we want to get like the white crowd there or whatever? Ah, this doesn't fit our market. And that's what I've heard for years. Like it doesn't fit the market till today. Like today is still a thing. And I remember Toby Nwegwe.
Oh, wow.
He put out his tour. I was so pissed off. I was in North Carolina visiting my new niece at the time. And he put out the dates and Nashville wasn't on there. And I was like, fam, how dare you not put it?
Yeah.
Nashville, like, come on.
Yeah.
And so he had like a Gmail account in his bio. So I emailed, I was like, whatever. Like, I was telling my sister, like, I'm gonna be downstairs. Like, you know, I'm spending family time. I'm gonna be downstairs. I gotta handle some business real quick. And so, you know, I'm emailing, I'm just like, hey, contrary to proper belief, Nashville has black people and this show has to come to Nashville. Like, whatever it takes, whatever it looks like, I'm the person who wants to do it here. And I wasn't expecting a response. But they was just like, let's hop on the phone.
Wow.
So we get on the phone. We have the conversation. We ended up like, I think they just trusted the game I was giving them of like what I've done as far as artists. And they were like, all right, let's do it. Like, find a venue. You know, we'll sell it out. Let's go. And then he added the Nashville date on his flyer and he updated it and posted it. And when everybody was like, Nashville, like, oh, snap, like Nashville's added. It just felt so rewarding. And yeah, I think a lot of times, like, people don't see the element of, they just see it getting added. Oh, he added it. Like, nah, that was like somebody fighting and advocating for Nashville.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that happens a lot of times. Like, you know, we feed people shows. We feed the Live Nations and the AEGs. We tell them these are the people y'all need to have. And unless you got the bread for it, you know, they really not trying to hear you. And sometimes even when you got that, they not trying to hear you. So, you know, taking it into, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to just start doing it myself now that I have the financial backing. Because, you know, I was 22 at one point. I ain't got no money.
It's just all in passion.
Yeah, like, you know, I got 100 on it. What's up? and that worked. We'll get into that. But that worked. That has worked before. Shout out to Alizano. Listen. But, it's just moved me into like knowing that although like it's like a duck like under, you know, kicking his feet under, but on top of water, that thing just glides. So it's like the work that we put into it as creatives and as, you know, being in the music industry, you have to keep like this is the purpose. You got to keep in mind that this is my purpose. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. And then next thing you know, like, you know, you will be the name that people are bringing up. People come to 2L's still.
Man.
To this day. And I have not been as on it as I should be with 2L's just because I'm in artist management now. But people still come to 2L's offering a lot of money to just post about a show. And that says a lot, you know, from artists to production companies.
You gave me a lot that I want to work with. Because you, no, you got, trust me, because I got so much that I want to talk to you about. Mm-hmm. But I definitely want to touch on the 2L stuff. But let me just ask this question. Like, where did the love for it start? Because I know it's, you go so hard in doing what you're doing, like behind the scenes, and it's not noticed as much as it should be, but you got to be pulling that from somewhere. So, like, where did that love for it even start? The love for the culture, the love for just hip-hop, R&B, everything that you're involved in, you handle with so much, like, delicate hands and care. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So what's the root of that? Like, where did all that start?
I mean, obviously, we have the story of, like, you know, we have siblings who love music. So we're listening to music at an early age. Mm. We appreciate music at an early age. That was me. When it came to my brother playing Nas and Jay-Z and Rough Riders. And then I go to my sister's room and she got Lauryn Hill and Aaliyah. You know, so it's like getting to merge that and just really having a really thorough appreciation for music at an early age. And then moving into me going to college, being a broke college student, just wanting to go to shows. Mm. Like, I remember in Alabama, like, all of the shows went to clubs. All of the artists went to clubs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so it was very easy to get access to these shows if you got a camera. Literally, that's the gym. And so I remember I was in college and I was just like, damn, I really can't afford this Waka Flocka, but I'm trying to pull up. And I remember hitting Reggie, CKDO, up Reggie and was just like, you know, man, you still got your flip cam. And back then, Eve, the flip cams was it. Like, you just flipped the camera.
Yep.
Flip cams was it. He was like, man, yeah, like, you want to use it. So I get the flip cam. I get my my friend's camera. And, like, I hit the promoter, which was literally just a cap on campus doing shows.
That's for her.
So, you know, I hit him up and I'm like, yo, I just want to, like, follow your lead. You know, I want to learn from you.
He's talking that talk. That's that Scorpio shit right there. That's smooth.
Shout out to the Scorpio. I know. you know, I just told him, like, I want to learn from you pretty much. And he was like, man, I actually got Waka Flocka. I already knew.
Look, see, you see the strategic setup. Like, she really be on some Drake shit, bro.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, you know, it happens, you know. But saying that to say, he ended up, like, letting me, I was, like, passenger seat in it with him. So he like, yeah, you know, we gonna just roll. You know, you can record all of this. We gonna roll to the hotel. I'm gonna get Waka the money. We good. We gonna take them to the venue. All of this. So I'm seeing all of the stuff that I wasn't used to. Like, I just want to go to the show. Like, why are we doing all of the do? All I don't care about this part. But at the same element, I'm like, okay, I'm learning something different. Because, you know, he took it very seriously. You know, we walk in the hotel. Waka standing right there, and I'm just trying not to, like, fold. You know, he was my favorite. But, you know, he's like just, he introduces me as his partner.
Wow.
And he's like, you know, yeah, that's my partner, and she's just going to, like, get behind the scenes and all this. And I'm, like, sitting there like, yeah, I'm supposed to be here. Let me act like it. And so from early, I felt the respect that he had for me simply because I wanted to learn from him.
Mm-hmm.
And that always stuck with me. Like, this guy gave me somebody he really didn't even know like that a chance simply because the energy we had.
Mm.
And so next thing I know, he's like, you know, yeah, she want to interview you.
Man.
And I was like, and he's just looking at me. He's like, yeah, what's up? Like, let's, you know, go sit. Let's talk. So I'm just sitting there like, you excited for the show?
I know. Hey, let me figure this out on the fly, Jack. Yeah.
Listen, never done an interview, never done any of the logistics of anything.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm like throwing these questions out, and he's like, yeah, so, like, you know, where is all of this going to be posted? I didn't have a platform.
Wow.
So I'm like, you know, yeah, it'll be on like Vimeo, you know, something like that. And he's like, cool. He's just like, okay, cool. So after that, I literally was like, man, I got to take myself seriously. Like when I got home, I stayed up, I think, all night editing that, trying to see where to put it. And so I'm just sitting there and I'm like, damn, like if it was that easy for me, like I got to take this seriously. Mm-hmm. And I could tell I cared because I had class at 8 o'clock that next day. Man. Got in at 3, stayed up until 6:30 editing.
Mm.
Had to be up. I didn't go to class. Went to sleep after. So I was just like, yeah, I'll go to, you know, yeah. my 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
But, you know, slept. But I realized in that, like, man, I could do something with this. Like, I could really do something with this. And I think my college years was what shaped everything moving forward, because that's where 2Ls was born.
Mm.
I'm sitting in my room. Wiz Khalifa was playing Currency. This is when they on Ustream.
Fire.
Yeah, Ustream at the time. Like, and I'm going on Ustream, like, telling these people, like, you know, yo, what they like, what's your name? You got a lot of good questions. Never had a name. So I was like, man, I got to figure out a brand, a name. And so I'm listening to Wiz Khalifa, Name on a Cloud.
Ooh, that was my shit.
Listen.
Ooh, that was my shit. Hey, man.
I'm listening to Wiz Khalifa, Name on a Cloud, and I'm just
That's
like,
fire.
Damn, I need a name on a cloud. I was like, 2Ls on a cloud.
I like that.
And so the whole time, I'm like bullshitting my way through like these thoughts, these immature thoughts. But my name has never been spelled right, so that's like, it means something to me. So it got a little meaning. Let me put the 2Ls, you know, 2Ls in my name.
Mm-hmm.
But that was where everything was birthed. And that was such a young age that it like put something in me, a battery pack. Like it put such a battery pack in me that I think I felt like I had to prove something when I came back to Nashville.
Mm.
And so like T back then was hitting me up like, yo, homie, I see you doing shows out there. I see you got a lot going out there. Like, you want to come cover Bun B and Fat Caps? So I'm like, you know, yeah, I could. But, like, you know, I got to get home. And he was like, oh, I'll give you some gas money. I say, less.
Hey, listen,
my brother, I am on the road, you know. And so those moments really showed me, like, one, people trust me.
Yeah.
Two,
yeah.
Like, I got to have some type of loyalty in what I'm doing, because I was back and forth from Nashville to Huntsville every time it was a show. I'm in Huntsville talking with artists. Like, back then, what's crazy is Mick Jenkins went to college in Huntsville at the same time.
Wow.
So I'm, like, around these people, creatives in their own element. But it's like there was a hub back then with, if you care and you outside and you doing these shows and stuff, it's going to elevate you. Like, and so, you know, you look at people like Mick Jenkins, Lito, but all these people who, you know, in my young age, they was just the homies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But now, you know, everybody's just elevated in a way where, you know, it's almost just like, damn, like that was the golden years, you know, to an element. But I think that's just where it started from. Like my college years really birthed like how I treat people within the industry.
Yes.
My loyalty to the industry, because I felt like it started to pay my bills. It started to do so much for me that, like, you know, that's what created the care and the awareness of all the other stuff.
How did you end up blending the two? Like, because not only were you like promoting under 2Ls on the Cloud, but you were bringing the artists into the city, and then you were also like interviewing them. So I want to ask, like, is that story where you was telling me with Waka Flocka and then kind of seeing you had something, did that spark like your love for journalism? I don't think that spoke on as much as well too. Cause you entered the game at such like a pivotal time. Like
that was
literally the blog era.
Yeah.
And so, like you said, you touching with all of these artists that were like buzzing. I remember being on Wiz like when he was in Pittsburgh and people were like, y'all ain't hearing this dude?
Yep.
And him, Mac Miller, you know what I'm saying? You going around, you Big Crit early, you know, career. You, the list goes on. That's you know what I mean? But we got so much like timeless music in that era. Like, where did it spark for you to not only really amplify with like 2Ls to like bring these artists to the city, but then also like providing the interviews and the shout outs and everything else that came with that.
I want to say it was, again, college years really like shaped a lot of that. Because I was used to going on to Dope Boys and, you know, all of the websites and platforms to read about these artists. But even some of the Wiz and the Mac Millers and the Currencies, a lot of them was getting the journalism and the write-ups, but it was so lazy. Like, them write-ups was lazy, and I felt like I knew way more about the artists than these, you know, big wigs knew. And so I remember what I would do was I would go on Ustream. Ustream was a free platform back then. The artists is basically like how IG Live is now for the culture now.
But they do like the video chat, like
literally just on video playing music, and it's a chat where you know you can type and whatever. And so what I developed, I would go on Ustream and I would like damn near spam that shit. Like, you know, I'm trolling, like, you know, throw up 2Ls, and like, they read it. Like, I remember Mac Miller was like, he's smoking a cigarette and he just so chill. And he like, just looking at, I keep saying like, throw up 2Ls, throw up 2Ls. And so he like, you know, all right, you know, he doing the hook, whatever. And so he did it, and I like screenshot it. So I'm like, cool. And I didn't screenshot, that wasn't available back then. I took a picture of it. And so did that with him. Wiz Khalifa on. Did that with him. Juari at the time. He was with Shawty Lowe. Did that with him. But it was like artist currency. Did that with him. And it became like I had this artillery of pictures that I would do a write-up and then I would post their picture with the 2Ls to make it more intimate with my audience. So it's like now you got people reading like, yo, did you really like talk to him when you was doing this? And you know the manipulation.
Yeah, like, yeah. I know.
We didn't really have a conversation. We talked, you know, a little bit. And so what I
was
doing.
She's good.
Well, you know, young minds like are so creative. That's why I love just what's going on now. We'll get to that. But like just what's going on now, because there's so much more access to artists, you know, to a sense now.
Yeah.
But and so with that, like that kind of pushed me into, okay, now I have to like figure out how I can be the one speaking for these artists. And so I remember hitting Mac Miller up and just being like, yo, would you be interested in an interview? And by then he's like, you know, and I'm like, yeah, it's 2Ls on a cloud. I attached a picture to the thing. He's like, oh yeah, you the girl had like throwing up. And he was down for it.
That's fire.
So we did the interview, and I'm like putting these questions in that I want to know. Like, forget your new music and, you know, what Pittsburgh hitting on? Like, when you going to be on Rostrum Records? Why hadn't Wiz signed you? Like, all of these questions, and he's like with it. Like, he's answering and stuff. Put the interview out, it goes up.
Man.
Like, it went crazy. And I think that was the moment where I was just like, I got something with this. So then that's just how I got into it. I started hitting up artists, asking them, can I interview them when they would come to the city? I would already be in their messages trying to set up when I could get time to interview them. And then that just kind of led to me moving back to Nashville and recognizing like, damn, the local artists ain't really got any type of support. There's no support for real.
What's funny with that is that's kind of... I took it personal like that as well. You know what I mean? And that's kind of why I started what I started. It's from that same place. Like, that's fire. That's fire.
Yeah. So, you know, podcast world is amazing. Now, I wish we had that back then, because I feel like you have the accessibility to, like, you're getting the gems through these conversations. And they're very, like, you know, I appreciate this. The intimacy of the conversation, but you know, I had to work with what I had, which was emailing and Ustream and you know, iSpace. You know, all of that was the popping thing back then. But you know, coming back to Nashville, realizing that I could also be a platform to Nashville hip hop scene, like that was just a little bit more meaningful to me, because I was in the city and I was seeing the talent, and then I would see the shows that were packed out with the big artists. And then you go to the local show and it's like 30 people there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so I felt like I had to advocate to at least cross the path. So I started booking shows of like artists that wasn't from here that people would come to. But before you get to that performance, you got to sit through five local artists, you know, who deserve their just due as well. And now they get to perform in front of a packed audience. Mm. So from the journalism to the interviews to the shows, like all of it started to just merge. And I think I had the responsibility back then to just like keep all of them up. And I luckily had a team who was with it. You know, they was with it at the time. So, you know, just pushing that out and recognizing the platform that I had and the responsibility I had to advocate for the artists in the city, like that just meant more than anything else. Mm.
Fire. Fire. Do you know still, like, has the viewpoint changed to how you market 2Ls now? Or is it still of that essence? I just thought of that randomly. That's on the cuff, baby. I'm telling you, I'm pretty good too.
I mean, 2Ls is not what it was back then. Like, I was younger. I had more time.
Got you.
I was outside more. And it's not like I cared less now, but I also understand my responsibility of being in these spaces now that these artists are not in. So while I could still be over here doing the shows and like telling the artists, you know, like, hey, this is what you need to do, da da da. Like, I feel like I now have a responsibility to be in these offices advocating for these artists or to be in, you know, these conversations with people from Broadway or Music Row or Live Nation or Red Bull, whomever. And advocating in that way. So it's not like there's like a less care. It's just I move a little bit more in tune with my just do. Like I've put in my hours.
Gotcha.
I've did the groundwork. And now I'm at a level where people are asking me like, hey, we got this big tour, you know, coming. Who's a good DJ that would be good to support them? Who's some good local artists? And it, to me, it holds the same weight because you've got the people over here, the Avrianas, who's foot to pavement right now, you know, who's doing the work. And now you have people like me who I'm in conversations with these people who are bringing these nationwide Bridgestone shows, Ascend Amphitheater shows, and they're asking me, you know, who's the locals that's going to come and shut it down and bring artists and have good representation. So I feel like it's the same in the aspect. I'm not online as much as I used to be. I'm not posting. And a lot of people, like, you know, they hit me and I'm like, yo, when you going to start doing write-ups again and that? And like, I don't think a lot of people knew, but I kind of transitioned into doing articles with the Nashville Scene. Where it was called Cloud Control. And so I would do interviews with artists and it would go in the Nashville Scene.
Fire.
And so it just kind of switched over to like me just kind of recognizing like I'm not the same person that I was back then. I have a bigger responsibility in a different space and not fighting that. Because, you know, a lot of times people will be like, OK, I got to stay up on a computer because I got to, you know, show love to my city. And it's like I'm still showing love. I'm still holding my weight. I'm still, you know, pushing the needle to the next level. But I also understand that I can't be outside 24/7 like I used to. Sometimes I got to be behind a laptop. Sometimes I got to be in this office talking to these people. And so it's not necessarily changed. It's just kind of maneuvered into a different space.
That's fire. That's fire.
Question.
Thank you. Thank you for a fellow journalist. I like that. I like that. All right. Now let's talk about the superstar that you have on your team.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's real heavy. I mean, with the relationship that you built with Deja over time, where near did you realize you had the capacity to manage? And what made Deja the perfect fit?
I'll preface this with, I know she was on here.
Shout out Deja.
And I know she had a story about how we came to be. Like, I know you watching. I love you. But I think for me, so I've managed a couple of artists who I cannot and will not name because it went so terribly. Okay. And it was men, and it was, and I won't say it went terribly. It just was a lot of lessons I had to learn really quick about somebody trusting you, somebody appreciating what you are and what you bring to the table, and recognize, like, I have another table over here that's full of chairs, but I'm trying to, like, be, you know, at your table. And so I had serious PTSD when it came to me wanting to manage anybody else. And so I remember Daisha came up to me at an event that I spoke at. It was a Who Knew event. And she had a manager at the time. And, like, he introduced her to me. And, like, you know, this Daisha, da, da, da. And I'm like, yeah, let's stay in touch. Because I was like, oh, it's a black woman. Is she a rapper? Nice. And I've not heard of her. So I got her information there. And then on down the line, like, a couple months later, I did a Christmas charity show. And I booked her, Mike Floss, some other artists. And, like, I could tell that, like, she was like, you know, damn, like, this is going good. Like, you know, the we sending emails, we get, she get there. I got a damn clipboard, you know, wasn't doing nothing with it, but I got a clipboard, you know, walking around and stuff. And I think that for her,
like the boss.
Her was like something different. And the show went well. We got a lot of Christmas gifts, all the good stuff. And she came up to me right after that. And she was just like, you know, how would you feel about managing me? And that PTSD kicked in. And I was just like, yeah, like, no, I would love to support you, but, like, I cannot. I do not have the capacity.
You told her that on the spot.
Oh, yeah.
How you develop that hard of a no?
Oh, I've been told no too much. You did not learn. You got to learn when to say it.
That's a thing.
Like, drops mic. But, you know, like, it was, I just didn't have the capacity. And it wasn't like a asshole mannerism or, you know, me feeling like I'm better or anything like that to where I couldn't work with her. It was just, for me and the space I was in at the time, I didn't have the capacity. And I could not, I knew I could not show up for her. I knew I could not be my best and support her. So I said no. And I say maybe 3 or 4 months after that, I was just sitting in my room and I'm like listening to her music and like just, you know, could I do this? Like, I got to get out of my own way type of thing. Like, I know she dope. I know what I could bring to the table. I know what she would bring to the table. And I hit her up and I was just like, yo, you know, are you still looking for a manager? Because if you are, we need to have like a conversation. And I think what's different about how we entered into it together. And so we had the conversation of these are the expectations, you know, these are the things I'm willing to do for you. And I would be, you know, more than willing to support. Same for her. You know, she had her things where this is what went wrong. Cause I think she had she had something going on with her last manager that she had a little PTSD too.
For sure.
So it's just like we were trying to fill each other out, but also recognize like we two black women. And if we going to do this, we got to do this together. And her first show was a Fresh Fruit show, which was what I did. I hosted the show and it went so well. And I think like after that, we just had like a weird little sister, big sister relationship where it didn't necessarily feel like artist manager. It felt like big sister, little sister.
Super organic.
Yeah, very organic, very, you know, business oriented because she is one thing she gonna do is she gonna tell you she know her business and she does. Like she knows her business. She went to school for it. And so that was the hard part about me in the past relationships was they didn't know the business. They had a little the talent, but the business kicked their ass. Man. And, you know, that happens a lot with artists. Like either you got one or the other, but we need you to have both. Or a little bit of awareness of both.
How do you find like balance with that? Like between talent and manager and making sure like the business is right. Like where in there did y'all feel like, all right, now we catching a stride? You know, because I know it's a lot of like ground building. Like I'm building with mine right now. You know what I mean? And There's a lot of conversations that we have to have in there. Like, yeah. I tell all the tough time, like, I'm a little stubborn. I suffer with a little bit of, you know, giving up the control a little bit. So we had to talk about, like, all right, I'm going to give you this. I'm going to give you that. You know, she even hit me and say, hey, you need to give me some work. You need to give me some. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Hand it over. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, but where in there did y'all catch that stride? And like, all right, this is now. Because from the outside looking in, it looks flawless. And it looks like y'all have a well-oiled machine. Y'all know what y'all want to do. Y'all have the vision set and the goal set. And it's like, oh, no, we're gonna get it. Mm-hmm. So, like, where did that click for y'all?
I think having the vulnerability. Like, we have a sense of vulnerability and transparency where, you know, we hit each other when we're not talking about business. Like, we have a lot of phone calls. We see each other a lot. And that just creates like the organic, I could tell you anything, you can talk to me about anything. And so I think from there, she had a bad show one day and I was in my head like, man, I don't want to make her feel away. But at the same time, that was a bullshit show. And so I decided that night, like, if I'm gonna be her manager, I have to be willing to have those tough conversations with her.
Yeah.
And that night we had like a real, like, conversation. I started it so well, like, you know, you did, you know, cool, just people were out, but, you know, and I kind of laid into her a little bit, and you could tell she was just like, you know, okay, cool. And I didn't know how she was receiving it, but I think after that she was just like, oh yeah, you're right. Like, I, and it felt so seamless, like it felt like, oh, that wasn't that bad, okay, cool. And so moving into just like her growing as an artist, because we see what she's doing now. She's just always had a sense of like hearing me out, trusting what, you know, she's a Capricorn and she is very impatient. And I know that about her. So it's like knowing that, like, I have those conversations where I'm like, you know, you want to trust me on this. Or, you know, she'll say like, I got this, I want to do this. And you know, so I've asked her one time, like, you know, what is it that you want me to do if I'm your manager and you doing all of the work still?
Yeah.
You know? And so it was giving up that control, making sure that, because I have control issues too. But it was like, you know, having those tough conversations where when we're out in public, like, it's us against the world. You know, when we in private, I grew up on house meetings. Like, my family got to be in one room, and it's lemon squeezes, and it's you didn't do the dishes, and this is what happens.
Wow.
And so I brought that element to, like, her. When we behind closed doors, like, we got to have these conversations that we have to unpack. Because when we get back out there, it's us against the world again. You know, but when we behind closed doors, we got to talk about finances. She's educated me on a lot of business aspects that I didn't have.
Y'all just sharpening each other.
Yeah, very much so. Like, right, learning each other, teaching each other, growing with each other, understanding each other. And then we kind of incorporated that mental, like, I really care about her mental. She care about mine. So she know not to text me or call me with no bullshit. I know not to hit her when she, you know. So it's like we care a lot about each other. And I think it just goes beyond the artistry and the creativity. And the manager and the artist, it's like, I understand and love you as a woman and as a sister figure versus this is the business. And when we not doing good, I'm hands off type of thing. So that's just kind of been how we've maneuvered through a lot of just the business aspect and then just having that transparency with each other.
Fire. Talk to me about, like, what's your experience being on the other side when y'all are setting these plans and setting these goals and y'all are getting these wins. You know what I mean? Like, you know, with the Queen Collective, like, documentary, and, you know, you're getting these other placements, like, Days is out in, like, Grammy Week right now. Right. You know what I mean? Like, what is that like for you when it's like, all right, we've set, we've done the work, we've planned, we strategically approached, and now it's executing how it's supposed to. Like, what's that like on your side? What's that experience like?
Oh, it's super rewarding. I think, you know, I love when she's happy. I love when she feels successful, you know, because she is hard on herself. She is very hard on herself, and she nitpicks. And, like, you know, sometimes you just have to be that person who is a soundboard But then, like, you really celebrate those wins. And so I think with her, you know, she's done a lot in just the past 2 or 3 years.
Oh, yeah.
Where, you know, to one person, like, man, you a legend now. But then to somebody else is, you know, keep working, kid. You know, so to keep that, keep her grounded, but also, like, keep her feeling like she has support is important to me. And then just understanding, like, you know, our wins are our wins, but we going to keep focused, too, because we need bigger ones, you know. But also basking in, like, we took a win from that. And I think sometimes, like, we get in our own heads, like, yeah, it was a win, but I got to, you know, do this. Because, again, she had Grammy week, and I could have went out there. But I'm like, we got this tour next week, so let me stay home. Yeah. Let me go to work. Let me be normal, you know, like, and prepare for tour.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Itinerary. She hit me a couple days ago and was just like, you know, yo, I'm like hitting her, like, you know, I'm getting the itinerary ready. And she's like, yo, we are so alike. I got an itinerary for LA. But it's like, we learn from each other. And mm-hmm. we've really grown to, like, understand that, like, you know, the wins are amazing and they feel amazing. But the moment you ease up off that gas, like, you're going to be behind yourself, you know, quick. Man. So we try to keep our foot on the gas as much as possible while celebrating those moments, because you won't get those moments again. You know, we'll have those first wins. We'll have those big show wins. She did the New Year's Eve in front of 20,000 people.
Fire.
You know, crazy. So it's like, don't bask in this. Like, celebrate. Crazy. You know, chill. Enjoy yourself. I'm going to go home, no. But, you know, like, enjoy yourself. And I think that's what's been just such a good moment for us, is, like, understanding that we got to celebrate them wins. But, you know, we got to make sure that we still planning on what's happening next. You know, forward thinking.
Yeah, yeah. I want to ask you now. Is there something that we can do for the creators with the infrastructure here? Is there something better that we could do? How do we build a better situation here, shall I say?
I wish we had a space, and I've recognized 100 and Taylor is becoming that. It's becoming a hub, the space.
Mm-hmm.
I've went to Atlanta many times, and Atlanta has, like, these complexes where you walk in and there's stores, there's studio space, there's podcast space, there's people chilling, there's people, like, outside hanging. And it just creates, like, and God forbid I'm not comparing Atlanta to Nashville, because we ain't that. You know, we have our own shit going on. But, you know, we need more hubs where this is the place we all go. All go. Like, we all go here for these different things. And I recognize, like, there's a lot of spaces that hold space for Black people. But, you know, underneath the threads of it, you know, they not necessarily for us. We paying rent and we keeping their bills paid. You know, we're keeping their studio popular. And shout out to Nick and Tay for being like, you know, yo, we want a studio space where this is the spot that when artists come, they're going here. Because I've heard, you know, a friend of mine was like, yo, you know, come through. We got her here recording her whole album here.
Fire.
Yo, we got Coco Jones recording the whole. They want to record here. So we have these spaces. But imagine if there was a Black-owned complex and you've got her in one building. You got Chuck Indigo in another space. You got Lost in the Sauce podcast over here. Act like she not finna be in your space. Or Chuck might not potentially be able to throw his own loop and get a feature. But we don't have, like, just those big creative complex spaces where we are the controllers of what we're, you know, allowed to do. We have to, you know, to some sediment, like, whole space, this is our shit type shit. But also, like, you know, you can't get too loud certain places, you know, you got to close at a certain hour or, you know, things like that. So those are the spaces I wish we had, because many times than none, me being on the back burner of it now and watching and observing, there's a lot of spaces that hold space for Black people for quota. Like,
yeah.
We have,
and that's unfortunate.
Absolutely. It is. And you know, in my big age, I see what it is. You don't even have to explain. But for a 22-year-old or 21-year-old who's fresh out the gate trying to get their name heard, they see that as an opportunity.
A big opportunity.
Yeah. And so we just have to get out of the mindset of like, what is opportunity to you? Because a lot of times opportunity is financial. Opportunity is experience. Opportunity is elevation. And sometimes I've seen personally opportunity being you being able to bring Black people to my space and patronize it, and then you go home. And so I wish we just had more opportunities and spaces for us to just be. And there, you know, there we have some. It's just not a lot. But you think about on the countryside, like
it's everywhere.
You know, it's everywhere. And so I have this thing where I recognize that every maybe 10 years, Black Nashville is recreated. And so I remember when I was young, there was a Rocksmith. You remember Rocksmith, the brand? So there was these Rocksmith shows, and it was like Love Noise, Fly Major, Crisis, and them doing these shows. And then the trajectory changed a little bit. And it was like 2Ls, Break on a Cloud at the time, doing these shows. Then it changed a little bit. And every time there's this news article, Nashville Scene, Tennessean, Forbes, whomever, that's like, oh, the Nashville hip hop scene is brewing. Who's next? Man. And it's like, that is the story that has been recreated for years.
Yeah.
And we have been in the space of almost a quiet, I don't say it's a specific energy, but like we going against each other, you know, for these things and for these moments. I'm the you don't want to be the token Black in a space. You just don't.
Yeah.
But we have a lot of these spaces where we get in them and we feel like, oh, I'm the person. I'm it. So let me keep everybody else, you know, where they're at.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. And then you realize, and it's like, yeah, but we did that 10 years ago. We did that 5 years ago. We did that 2 years ago. And so it's like really recognizing who is doing what and supporting the people who are doing these things. I tell you, many a times I was Avriana when I was her age. So how dare I be the person who's gatekeeping, you know, keeping her from whatever. I will support whatever she has going on, even if it's me pushing it online.
Or
being in a space to have a conversation. I just told her the other day, like, let's go to lunch and just catch up. But we've got to have these spaces where, you know, we are the ones that are controlling what we got going on.
Yeah.
Nobody else.
Do we need more entrepreneurs to balance the scale out? We got a crap ton of creatives. It's so many creatives that are geniuses. But do we have enough business people to help level the playing field to where we can come together and then build?
I think we do.
We do.
I think we just don't. Again, we don't have that space where, you know, I know so much about. I get to kind of fine tune myself between juggling both. With the business now, I'm in spaces with the business minds, and I'm in spaces with the very grassroots creative side of things. And so, you know, where's the moment where we're bridging the gap between the business element? We've got the money, we've got the financial backing, we've got the land, we've got the business plans, to the creative who, I got the camera. I got the plan. I've got the artistry. I've got, you know, the clothes. I've got the brand. And bridge those together, because they're there. They are there. You know, I've seen more times than none conferences and business meetings and all of these things. And it's not necessarily bouncing off of everybody. It should. I've seen granted, you know, the Titans has been playing a lot of like the Brian Brown and Chucks, the Mics. I love that. And I think that's dope. But it's like, you know, we don't need the moment, because those are moments. You know, they're great moments. Gotcha. But we need those things to, like, yo, Titans, like, get his man a $25,000 budget to do a compilation of Tennessee Titans songs. I don't know.
Yeah, but just, you know, something.
Yeah, like, it has to be more that's bridging the gap versus moments that are happening. Because you've got, like, Carlos, who's building this crazy genius business with the Nashville Black Market, mm-hmm. and he's getting the exposure he's getting, and he's doing the work.
So many people out there, like, when he's throwing those events, yeah. like, it's so many people showing up. Yeah. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
And, you know, me and him have had conversations where we're trying to find the level playing ground of, like, you know, we need these big businesses to pour into us. Mm-hmm. And so it's just like finding that space where, you know, I don't know if it's a huge Nashville expo or whatever. But we just need to learn how to build that bridge, because they are there for sure.
Got you. Got you. That's heavy. That's heavy for sure. And I think with what you're doing is it's also showing the example of how to do it. Like, you know, when I'm going in the Nashville party, I'm seeing so many of the creators mm-hmm. around there. You're throwing oops. Like, you threw Neek a huge oop that I was super proud of him being able to create. You know what I'm saying? When y'all were doing the event around, like, the shoes.
The sneakers.
Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. just seeing how excited he was for that moment and executing at that high level of what was required, coming in there, seeing that beautiful displays. You walk around, you seeing other creators with cameras, videographers. You have other stations set up to where people can do their thing. Mm-hmm. Like, it's beautiful seeing you come back and putting people in position, giving them those looks. Like, mm-hmm. I'm sure. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, let me say this too. Uh-huh. And this goes back to what you just said about spaces, businesses, switching and all that stuff.
Yes.
I feel indebted to people like Neek, people like Lay, people like Kelsey, where, you know, I know the work that these people are putting in. And so for me, when I have a platform, like, I think we just talked about, like, you know, we got to figure out budget. Like, we would love to have you on board type mm-hmm. thing. But mm-hmm. what people don't understand at the same sentiment is I'd really be trying to give my last to my people, because my people deserve it. But we're in a space like Brooklyn Bowl, and this is no diss or this is no disrespect to them, because they give us the space. You know, they allow us to be in the space, and we're a residency event there now. 2024 is planned and on the calendar.
That's fire. Hold on. We got to clap that up.
That's beautiful. Yeah, hold on. We got to clap that up for real. That's fire.
Wow,
that's some news.
Yeah, no, that's dope. That's
news.
Great.
Yeah.
That is great. I've never had a situation like that. You
Usher
know?
Be going crazy out in Vegas. Listen, when he doing the residencies.
Like, you know, Vegas.
He be dancing, grabbing everybody, dope. Girl, all that.
Listen.
Man, come on, like, man. Like,
poor Jacquees. But
just seeing y'all being able to do that, you know what I'm saying, yeah. here is special. Yeah.
But and saying that to say, like, people see that and we see it. And, you know, we reach across and we really look to provide. But in the same sentiment, Brooklyn Bowl is a big business. They're a Live Nation-owned venue. So what comes with that is me and Steve have to fight tooth and nail, where you have people coming in like, girl, we bought booths. We ate food. We ran the bar up. And they don't understand that we don't see any of that money. We don't see that money. Them bowling lanes. You know, like, we don't see a lot of that money that you are pouring in. And for Black Nashville, we see it as, I spent a lot of money with y'all.
Yep.
I'm proud of that. But for us, you know, we have a percentage deal. You know, a lot of business people understand what that looks like when you book a venue. But, you know, we have those high overhead prices where we walk away more times than none, not as happy. You know, with what we brought in, because we know the work we put into it on top of, let alone we bring an artist that day and we got that extra, who knows mm-hmm. what. You know,
you know, just bringing Desi a DJ in.
Yeah. Yeah, we brought Desi Banks, and that wasn't on Brooklyn Bowl.
Yeah.
That was on us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like now we have to pay out them and the venue and all of these people. And we've always said we want a Nashville's space.
Yeah.
Where we are the ones that we don't have the overhead. We don't have the, all of that, you know, you got to worry about a capacity. We got to meet a certain standard because that's what drives people to say like, oh, you want to come in? Yeah, it's 100.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, mm-hmm. and God forbid people think it's us that are these online service fees. It's Ticketmaster, friend. It's Ticketmaster.
Yeah, let them know. Yeah.
It's not us. But, you know, we run into, we have the $25 ticket still. 30, 40, last chance, 50. But they don't understand that while we've not changed our brand and our integrity of it, it may look a certain way because Brooklyn Bowl is involved. It mm-hmm. may look a certain way because Ticketmaster is involved. And I think that's the thing. That's what we need when it comes to, like, we got to get a commercial real estate agent and be like, look, we got to find a space for
yeah.
us,
yeah.
you know, to be
yeah.
able to take all wins. We get in the bar, the tickets, the door, because now I have more money that I could kick out
yeah.
and pay the creatives,
yes.
you know, just for
yes.
being a part. But, you know, there's many wins that comes with it, but I don't think that everybody truly understands, like, the growing pains within it as well. So, you know, it just goes back to what you were saying about how to build those bridges, because it's important. You mm-hmm. know, we see many wins and, you know, I don't want to be 50, 60 years old at Nashville's hosting parties. And I want my own space where I could be on vacation.
Facts.
And it's running its own engine with yep. a 23-year-old me who's, mm-hmm. you know, running it up. So those are the things that, like, just, you know, it's growing pains. It's great. It's amazing. But, you know, we still have our eye on the prize. And we still running that race like everybody else, you know.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Okay, so as I was kind of prepping for this, I had a lot of, like, one word things. So I want to just say a word and you tell me what it means to you.
Okay.
All right. Okay. The first word I got on there is family.
Everything.
Elaborate on it.
Everything. My why, the reason why I do it. My mama will post everything on Facebook, whether I want her to or not.
Shout out mama.
You know, my dad is texting me, like, you know, wanting to invest. My sister supports me. I've learned from her and my brother. I have family that come to Nashville, you know, so family is everything for me. And in the same sentiment, like, I've had to deal with losses, you know, that were very hard, and in the same element, go to a show the
yeah,
next day
yeah.
or have Nashville's the next week. And so it's just grounding. Like, family is my everything. It's my why. It's my why.
Beautiful. Beautiful. next
that
word I got on
tissue.
There. Yeah. The next word I got on there is Missy Elliott.
Mm. Who you talking to now?
Hey, man,
Mark?
Come on now.
The GOAT. Like, the creative genius. She's a GOAT. Like, she was the one who I was listening to and wearing Adidas and got in the shoes and the two pieces be on purpose because of her damn near. You know, like, just, you know, her fashion, her creativity, her, it's just an admiration. Like, it's a big admiration for her. You said one word. I'm giving, like...
No, you good. Do your thing.
Thesis statement.
Do your thing. It's beautiful because I be wanting to know the background of some of these things for
yeah.
you. Because
yeah.
I know these things that I'm naming to you are important.
Yeah. You've been on my Twitter, too, trolling.
Huh? Wait, what are we talking about?
I love it, though. I promise
hey,
I do.
Hey, you text me. You text me. He's like... You be watching, watching. I'm like, I see
favorite.
Everything. I told he'll I see like, everything.
He'll like a tweet. I'm like, that's gonna be an internet. That's all right. Let me get ready.
Beautiful, man. tell me about Kendrick Lamar.
Oh, he's my favorite artist, my favorite hip hop artist. And then the first really big show that I helped to promote in Nashville. And I don't call myself a promoter because I ain't that.
Yeah.
But just the first artist that I've like literally when I was in college would cry to, would laugh to, would sing along. I know every word. Please don't try me on the Kendrick because I'm going to go there. But
did you like the Big Steppers tour when he came?
I did.
Yeah, that's fire.
Yeah, I really did. I appreciate it. And especially like just his, like how he relays his music to the fans visually. Yeah, like yeah. he's a different level of a brother. He really is.
Fire. Women empowerment.
My backbone. So like I would say, because I know I'm indebted to other black women to like show up and make sure I'm like providing space and showing up for women. That's just become like kind of my backbone and understanding like the responsibility I have for the black women.
Beautiful. The shoe, the cloud shoe.
Kazi.
Like, shout out Kazi.
Because of him, you know, and sometimes it takes that support from a person. Like I didn't know nothing about it. He hit me up and he was just like, yo, you know, and back then I was so business oriented, but you I mean, was on I his still am. About them details. Yeah. But like, you know, he was just like, I got to shoot. And so I literally had to like send the stuff that he had to like an attorney. And yeah. I was just like, yeah, I get my attorney to look over it. I know he was just like,
like, man,
you know, I'm just trying to honor you, man. Like, they're selling it. Like, oh, we got to get ours from Nike. Yeah, like, right. You know, make sure this is beneficial to you and me.
Yes, yes.
But yeah, like, he was able to tell my story in a way that was so eloquent and so appreciated coming from a black man at that. Like, Kazi's my favorite. He's one of my favorite people.
Shout out Kazi. Yeah. This is either word, collaboration or partnership.
Important. It's very important. And I think the representation of black businesses partnering and collaborating, is super important. I want to keep, right. I'm trying to keep them short.
I know you good. I got on there community.
Protect the culture. Like just being a protector of my community, advocating for my community is super important to me. And it's like kind of the basis because I have education background and I've got the babies and then I've got like the grown people who, you know, need that same support. And so I feel like I'm indebted to provide for my community in any way I can.
Fire. Do you want to talk about the teaching thing? I did have that on there, but I'm
we
like,
can. I think that's like a
I don't think enough people know that.
Nah, because I kind of publicly, you know, you put stuff on Instagram. People going to hold on to that moment. Yeah. Like, oh, you still do? You went back? Oh, you failing? Like, nah, but I think just with, you know, but like, I remember making my moment. Hey, like, man. my fifth year of teaching, I said in August, which is when school starts, I said, I'm going to quit this year. Like, I'm going to make sure that, you know, I quit my job. And so I remember being at our last day of school little meeting and they gave us a presentation. They presented me with a 5-year pen.
Wow.
And for one, I was like, oh, this time and effort and y'all gave me a pen, but that's great. But I told my principal that day, I was like, you know, I really appreciate it, but like, I won't be back next year. I'm putting in my letter of resignation. And she thought I was playing at first. And then everybody was just kind of like, well, what are you going to do next? What else do you do? Like, are you going to work somewhere else? Are you going to different districts to teach? And I was like, no, I actually, you know, got some things going on with, you know, my personal business and things like that. And what I won't do at school is mesh the two. What I won't do at Nashville's is mesh the two. Like, I know a lot of teachers that be in Nashville's and you would never know me as Miss Davis in that space. I know when I'm in the education space, you know, you would never know me as the Nashville's. You know, and so, yeah, I quit my job. I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready. And I remember like paying rent and just seeing money leaving my account every month and me not necessarily like putting money in.
Yeah.
And so I was trying to be the like, I'm a leap. I'm gonna do this. But I feel like timing is everything. And so I ended up going back to substitute. And I was just like, I'm going to just sub because you get full benefits. That's enough.
Fire.
Like, that's enough for me. And people don't talk about that stuff enough. Like, you know, you got to be, you got to have your shit together a little bit if you're going to just
Yeah, you got to have, jump you gotta into have that health insurance.
Yeah, that, like, because you get sick. Yeah, like, you that's know, real. And at the time, I had a lot of health issues that, you know, was just keeping me. I was just all over the place. Mm-hmm. And so when I went back to sub, I remember one of the teachers just like, have you ever taught before? Like, you're really good. And I was like, yeah, I just quit. Like, I just put in my letter of resignation. And she was like, well, we have, like, this position, this part-time position. You know, it's like an office type job. You'll do this, 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 teaching English as a second language. It's the EL teacher position. And I was like, it's part-time? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, it's full benefits. She was like, yeah. And I took it.
Me up, Jack.
Absolutely. Because it allowed me to be like, you know, yo, I could leave school at 11:30. And back then it was COVID, so I had another job that I was going to. It was like a nonprofit business, but I had a job there.
Fire.
So I could like do the things and then know my bills were handled and then move into the creative me and be able to provide for those spaces. And I think just moving on to today, like I'm in the school space and I'm involved and I'm a hell of a teacher. Shout out to you if you know I ever see your children. But I teach English as a second language, so it's hyper focused on once it's not like a classroom job.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have that much responsibility, but I also have a lot of responsibility to be in the building.
Wow.
And so I have to juggle that with all of the other stuff. The Nashville's, the Daisha, you know, we've got lunch meetings all the time. And I'm just like, we can do virtual, but I see a cafeteria at 11:30 every day. And so I think just like moving into a space now, I could have quit my job probably 2 years ago. But I think just for me, and with benefits and with just the day to day, like it keeps me focused.
Yeah.
Damn near. Like, you know, I was gonna ask that.
I was gonna ask, like, is the love still there? Like, you know, does it keep you fresh, keep you on your toes?
Absolutely.
What I mean? In a certain pocket.
Absolutely. I learned from the kids. I learned Blicky.
Yeah, you did.
way before the adults knew it. Like, and they came in that, like, I knew all of this, I be knowing. Like, and now I've got the kids who are,
and
like,
a turn.
Listen, like, they, and what's great is, like, kids are pure.
Yeah.
Like, the child mind is so pure. Like, they educate me so much on a lot of things. And so just moving into, like, those spaces of knowing, like, it keeps me on my toes, but it also keeps me with a set schedule. To an extent.
Mm.
I was a creative. I probably wake up at like 10 every day. I don't know. But back then when I quit my job, I really wasn't trying to wake up. And so just knowing that, you know, I have a set schedule. I wake up even if we on breaks and whatever. You know, I wake up at 5:30 every day. I start my day, leave school. And then I treat everything else as like a part-time job.
That's right.
And so it keeps me on my toes. But in the same sentiment, like, me and my business partner has discussed, like, our long-term goals of, like, we quitting our jobs soon. And so we've business-wise, like, went through, you know, we're doing the whole tax thing with our CPA right now, you know, to where we can move into a space where, you know, we're employees for ourselves.
Yeah.
And so, you know, beautiful. When I walk away next time, mm-hmm. I'm not going back.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm okay with the juggle. I know people talk about the entrepreneurship and leaping and trusting the process, but sometimes it looks a little different. Mm-hmm. For people, and I'm okay with being an advocate for that part of it. You know, you want to have some of your eggs in a row sometimes.
No, for sure. You know, and you got to have that one foot in, one foot out until you figure it out all the way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, absolutely.
For sure.
But we ready. I won't be there too much longer.
Yeah. Beautiful. All right, so To finish it out before I give you a surprise, and I got a surprise from Miss Davis, you know what I'm saying?
I know. He said Miss Davis not a winning type.
Yeah,
that's why I don't do it. That's why I don't cross it, because now I'm Miss Davis again. I was two L's 5 minutes ago.
Oh, man.
It's cool.
Hey, man.
It's all right.
Let me ask you, now I ask everybody that come up here, because I feel like anybody that's doing something that's impactful or creative, or in anybody that I come across, I feel like we all have superpowers. That's what I characterize them as. I feel like my superpower is the ability to communicate. Mm-hmm.
empathize, sympathize with people's stories and kind of bridge that gap. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I'll ask you, what's your superpower?
Maybe like something dealing with connecting, like the power of connectivity.
Yes. Like no, I mean, you are a connector.
Yeah, like.
You connect a lot of people.
Yeah, I used to, I think in my bio still, either on Twitter or somewhere, I've put like the dot connector because I feel like that's like one of the most important.
Oh, my bad. I didn't mean to cut you off.
You okay?
I'm going to say that's what matriarchy is. Everybody comes to.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's why I said that in the beginning. Like, it's somebody that everybody respects. Everybody comes to that person. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's different sectors. You can connect this person with that person and this person with that person. You
Absolutely. Know what I mean? So I feel like that would be it. Like, connecting people. There's been so many spaces that we've had, like, either events or shows or whatever. And it's like, I'm going to give that photographer a chance to like link with that artist or get that one good photo, you know, the artist, because I went through all of that, like mm-hmm. I dealt with, you know, just having the opportunity to build something for myself based off of an opportunity from somebody. So I think just like connecting people, connecting, building bridges, you know, again, we talk about the business and the creatives, like I try to do as much as I can to build those bridges with people.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Well,
Miss Davis. What's your last name? What about the
stuff? Knight.
It's cool.
Y'all niggas don't call me that when y'all in the streets. Y'all call me Sauce, nigga. Call me Sauce, nigga. Don't play with me. Don't play with me. All right, I got one more just random ass question for you, and then we'll get to the gift giving shit.
Okay. Not the gift giving. Whoa.
Hey, no. I'm getting silly. All right. So I'm just curious. Well, I got two questions now that I just thought about it.
Make it three. It's
fine. Okay. People are really, from the outside looking in, I don't know if you know, people be intimidated to talk to you.
No.
Do you know that?
I hate that.
You hate that?
I swear I hate that.
I think that you got to have your ducks in a row before they walk up to you. I mean, hell, I had to. I'm like, I'm not coming up to Miss Two L's, Miss Davis, without having my shit together. I can't do it.
I don't.
You see that board over there?
Mm-hmm.
On that other side, it's shit prepping for you.
Really?
Yes.
I mean, that's great. Like, that's good for your business, too. Yeah. Like, you should. You should. Okay. But.
Go ahead with
you. But just thinking of, like, I don't want to intimidate people. I have a crazy RBF sometimes, especially when I'm in space. Like I said, I'm a social introvert. So I have the capacity to be in spaces, but I don't have the capacity all the time to like interact.
Gotcha.
And because I'm working on that, like I've talked to my therapist and I'm working on that part, but I still try to show up as like approachable, you know, to a sediment. So I hate that that's the thing. Approach me, y'all. Come up. Pull up. Don't pull up. But you know, like.
What do you do in your own solitude?
Travel. I travel. And I've been having more conversations with self. Like, I just moved into a space where, like, I used to fill my space with people because I didn't feel, like, fed, or I would run from my shit.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've learned to, well, I'm learning to, like, sit in my shit. Like, you know, like, have those conversations with myself, like, video journal, write some things down. And all of that stuff is, like, not easy to do, especially if you're in a creative mind of, like, man, I could be like writing up this business plan, or I could be doing this, like just getting me back together so I could be happy with me. Is very important to me now. So
that's beautiful.
Loving on me more this year, you know. Everybody should do that.
Yeah. No, for sure.
It's hard 100%. For creative sometimes.
Though. It is. Like, we're hard on ourselves.
We are, like, very hard on ourselves. You're doing great, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Like, no, like, for real, like, Lost in the Soul. I literally, when I got my makeup done, shout out to Jatisa.
Hey.
That, you know, she was like, well, what's the podcast? And I was like, Lost in the Sauce, Sauceville. She was like, oh, yeah, I've heard of them.
What?
And sometimes that'd be enough. Like, you know, if people can track what you're doing. Wow. Like, you are growing a machine. A much needed machine. Hit the,
Yeah, hold on. Yeah.
You know, like,
come on, man. The boss,
you
know, man. Turn it up. Yeah. Turn it up. Listen.
You gotta, you know, to receive flowers is to also give them. So,
thank
you know, you're doing great.
Thank you. I don't know if you know how much that means. That means more than you can imagine. For sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, all right, so I got one more just random question. Mm-hmm. What's Delisha's favorite food? You got a favorite? You got a season number five? I know it's a random ass question, but I'm like, I've never seen Delisha like actually have some food around her or like a plate or something, but I'm like, what's your favorite? You know what I mean?
Crab legs, and nobody's ever gonna see me.
Oh, that's your bag. Like, okay. So we couldn't go have lunch.
What the hell I look like? Popping up. But yeah, I think like crab legs is a thing. And then like.
You like sushi?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. I'm actually doing something with Art of Oso Ricey for Nashville's on Friday. So yeah, we'll be at Sora eating up some sushi.
Another thing. I need to go to, I've been in the space before, but I haven't ate there. Rhythm and Spice.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy.
You have to.
Crazy. Okay.
You have to. Like, you have to go. And the thing about Kamal is Kamal cares like I do. Like, that's why we work well together. Like, he cares. So, that food.
Hidden.
Extra love.
Mm.
Like, it's extra love. You know, he just did a friend of mine's birthday party. And we was like, yeah, we just want a rum cake. That man brought out like a 3-tier cake with flowers on it. And it was, you know, it's a different level of care. And, you know, his parents had a Jamaican Way. Have you ever had Jamaican Way?
Yeah.
That's the vibe.
Wow.
Come on,
that's hard.
Like, yeah. So, like, he's literally a product of his, like, family. Like, he's cultivating something amazing.
That's fire.
Over there, so.
That's fire.
Kamal is that dude.
Am I missing anything? I think I didn't hit everything, right?
Ass neat. Meet me.
Yeah, they. We got Neek in the building. We got Neek in this motherfucker. Listen. You know what I mean? We got the boss in here. All right, man. It's gift-giving time. All right. Now, I did this a little while back because we was going to do a bigger production. I had more planned out with it, but I just want to present you with this.
Okay.
So, the first gift is from KP Candle and Co. Shout out KP. You know what I'm saying? We got the candles and everything. I want to gift you with that.
We love a good candle. Yeah,
pop them out and smell them.
We going to have the candles in my space, okay? The house is full of candles. Oh, Self Love Club.
Yeah.
See, I'm fucking.
Oh, you got it.
Self Love Club. Ooh, that smells good.
You like that? You like that? You mess with it?
A young black queen.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Okay. I'm familiar. Yes.
We got something special on the way too.
Yeah. Joy.
Yeah.
Oh. That smells good.
You mess with those?
It smells like cleanliness.
Mm.
Yeah. Y'all know me.
She also got some waxes in there, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Let me cake pop. Come on. Thank you, KP.
Hey.
What the
marketing
do.
Yeah. Come on now. Hey, anyway, she got the boss at you.
Look.
Yeah.
Oh, this is great. This is
you mess with that?
I do. I absolutely
okay.
do.
Okay. I handpicked those smells out for you.
Yeah,
me and Kelsey.
I love candles. Did y'all know that? Like, was this a thing?
Oh, who I already know. It? Come on now. We do our research around
y'all
here.
Y'all be looking at my store.
So you can light those up when you're taking a bath or anything. You know
and
what
we'll
mean?
Pay.
Yeah. Shout out KP. She also has a self-care card in there. Yeah, mm-hmm. You can read that, you know what I mean, later on, you know.
Thank you, KP. Thank you all.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, now.
Right there for the photo op.
Now, this took some time, but I got you a painting.
Stop it.
Missy Elliott. This is from Divine Artwork. I think these ladies are out of Chicago, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah, we got her this.
Missy.
Yeah, that's in it. Yeah.
Nah, this is lit. This is lit. Because you know what's crazy is I literally was just saying, like, damn, I need to hurry up and get some art from because I just moved.
Mm-hmm.
And hurry up and get some art on my walls. And like, I was like, man, I got to figure out something with some artists or something like that. So this, you don't even understand. Like, you hit the nail on the head. Did I post about that?
We just had to get in the trenches. Hey.
No, for real. I don't even know if you could see it.
You want me? You want to tear it open? Come on, tear it open. Tear it open. Yeah, I'm going to rip that open. Yeah.
Now, you know they got the good tape.
I think you might be able to rip it in the front right here.
Yeah. Nah, this is dope. Look at this. Whitney Burnett.
There's some young black queens too. They do some good work.
Amazing. Come on. And this is one of my favorite songs.
Yeah,
this is one of my favorite songs by her.
So. That's fire.
Shout out to Missy. Thank you. What is Divine Artwork?
Yes.
Thank you. And thank you, because you just hit me with the Narvoir.
Come on now.
You hit me with the No, this is...
We had to do it for the boss. You know what I'm saying?
This ain't that. This is a little different.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Thank you. This is going up tonight.
Hey, that's fire. I'm glad we could make you smile.
Yeah.
Yes.
I appreciate it. Uh-huh. Come on. Now I have my makeup done.
Hey.
Look at life. I ain't like I'm a hey, capture. Hey,
man. Oh, man. I want to give you the floor to give any shout outs, anything that you want to kind of announce or say. I'll let you hit the close up right here. Ooh. Let everybody know where they can follow you and any shout outs, anything.
Well, you can follow me at It's Two L's, I-T-S, T-W-O-L, spelled with two L's. It's Two L's. Coming up, Nashville's. We got February 10th. We have March 9th. Already on the calendar. Concerts. We're getting into the concert bag this year. That's going to be probably the most kind of, we came out of nowhere with it, but we've been planning it. So I'll say like the shows are coming. The community work is going to become, you know, more of a thing for us this year. And then just shout out to everybody that's like supported over the years. Like there's way too many people to name by name, but you know, like it's just a lot of people who supported me over the years, like whether it be mentors, whether it be new people that I've met and built mm-hmm. relationships with. Like I think that's just really important, so thank y'all. It's my first time doing this and I would not have done it with anybody else other than you, so
thank you.
I definitely
so much
wanted to start my year off with like making sure we locked in and got this done, because I know you was gonna come with it. Like I knew you, I wasn't gonna have to like say what I do and all of that stuff. So you know, I appreciate you for sure.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you for trusting me. Thank you for just making time out. I know we had been working on this for a little minute too, so it's dope that you know we finally figured it out, made it work, and yeah,
absolutely. I'm appreciative. Shout out to behind the scenes.
Yeah, hey, come on, man. You know, everybody like, involved. Shout out Lay.
Doing the work
yeah,
too.
Shout out Neek.
Yeah.
Shout out Kelsey.
Thank y'all.
You know what I mean?
Thank y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Delisha Davis.
Thank y'all.
Hey, everybody can clap up too. I want her to get a round of applause, man. This is special.
Thank you.
Is beautiful, man.
Thank you.
That's hard. All right, man. That's
it,
man.
We're not doing 2 hours. So.
Yeah, right at 2. You know what I mean?